to you, teaching and preaching in this service a message entitled, Save Your Family at All Cost. Now, I've preached this without getting on video. I've taught it for three straight services. Tonight will be different, and I want to inform you in the beginning, you're going to hear some things repeated, scriptures and thoughts, but I'll tell you something else. You're going to find out in this message, you're going to hear some of the deeper aspects of this message. Something you haven't heard before that I saved to the last. Save your family at all cost. I want to begin in Genesis, the 12th chapter, verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, your family, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. And so Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. And then he made a mistake here in the beginning that he corrected quickly. And Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran, and he took Sarai, his wife. Now there's a lot of great thoughts here we need to establish first in the life of this great man that saved his family. And God told him that if he would obey him, that if he would take this march of faith, that if he would step out on the promises of God and not be afraid of man or failure or fear the results of walking by faith and only fear God, all these wonderful promises will come upon thee. He says, I'll make you a great nation out of you. I will bless thee and make thy name great. And here's what many Christians pray for and they never attain it. And thou shalt be a blessing. You'll be a blessing. You know, there's a big song we sing, a great hymn, a choir number. You don't hear it much, but I remember when I was in college, in Bible college, we used to sing it a lot. Make me a blessing. Make me a blessing. You know, I forget it goes so high. But I tell you, boy, that's a wonderful song. Make me a blessing to someone today. Most Christians are not a blessing. And I'll tell you frankly, ladies and gentlemen, most Christians are a pain in the neck. It's amazing why do they have to be like that? Well, we won't get on the answer. But the answer's on the way. This I know. I'll preach on that later. Praise the Lord. All right. Abraham had God's directive. What was his directive? There was just one direction that God gave him, one great directive. Separate yourself from your family and go where I tell you to go. And I'm not going to tell you where you're going. You just go. Just head off yonder. God just pointed away and says, head in that direction. Separate yourself. Get out of your country where you have been reared. Get away from your relatives. Get away from your immediate family, your father's house, and to a land that I will show thee. And I'll bless you. I'll make your name great. You'll be a blessing. I'll bless them that bless thee. I'll curse them that curseth thee. And all families of the earth shall be blessed, Abraham, if you'll obey me and walk by this new call to faith. Hey, that's a pretty good legacy there to enjoy and then leave it behind to your family, isn't it? Hey, look what I'll do for you if you separate yourself. Be a man. So Abraham did it, as the Lord had spoken. But he took Lot. That was his mistake. But he took his wife. And the Bible says all their substance that they'd gathered and the souls they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth into the land of Canaan, Now, they had some servants to go along with them. You know, servants don't bother you. It's these people that are kin to you, or somebody thinks they're equal to you. Them's the folks that bother you. Folks that aren't equal to you, you know, they're either above you or below you. They don't bother you. It's them that are equal rights advocates. You know, I'm just as good as you are. I know as much as you do. God loves me good as he does you. And all that kind of stuff. I can understand that Bible good as you do. I don't need nobody to teach me. I can teach you. Now you get around that kind of mess and you are sunk. Your ship is going to sink on the rocks before you ever get to Reno. You won't ever get that far. All right, verse 7. Now here's some of the first things that Abraham did. And he's doing this to bless all the families in the earth succeeding him. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, unto thy seed or children will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. Now one of the first things Abraham did, of course, was to obey the Lord. The first thing he did, he left his father's house and his kindred. He got away out of his own country and he went to another place. Now listen, if you lived in South Florida and God told you to move South Florida to Jacksonville, you went a lot further, or I went a lot further than Abraham did to get out of his country. Did you know that? Them countries were little back there in those days. You didn't go that far. That's a long trip, 250 or 300 miles. So it don't mean you got to go from the U.S. and move to Australia. Now that's around the world. Lord wouldn't say move out of your country. He'd say move around the world or on the other side of the world. That's a different story. It means get out of your own locality. Get from where you're just one of the boys to where they call you by your first name. Get away from that bunch. They'll pull you right down with them. Verse 8, Genesis 12. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the east, on the west, and Hai on the east. And there, what did he do? He builded an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. Everywhere his successors went, his seed, his offspring, his descendants, they found altars that Abraham had built. And he was a pretty old fella. But I'll tell you one thing. He used his energy and his strength and his time doing things that were important. And the things he didn't do were the things that were not important and not vital to pleasing God. We waste so much of our time and energy doing things that are superfluous or unnecessary till we dissipate our energies and our time and money and everything else trying to do something instead of pleasing God. Our main effort, the most of your money, the most of your time should be spent pleasing God. No worry, you ain't going to be children of Abraham monkeying around doing something just because it seems logical to do. God don't operate on logic. He operates on faith. And faith is not logic. There's no logic in it. All right, we find a lot of things here about Abraham. He straightened out the first error he made in taking Lot with him in the ninth verse of Genesis 13. And he says, separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, I'll go to the right. If thou depart to the right hand, I'll go to the left. Why did they separate? The Bible said in verse 7 of this same chapter, there was strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. And Abraham said to Lot, let's separate because we're brethren and there's strife arising here. Let's separate ourselves before we start grinding the axe and become literal enemies, even though we're brethren. Just because a man says he's a Christian, that don't mean you can walk with him and have fellowship with him. No, it don't. A guy says he's a preacher. You think I'm going to take up with him and be a buddy with him? No, I'm going to look at him more suspicion than he's ever had. Amen. I'm going to be worse than Hawkshaw. Or what's that other guy? Scotland Yard. Be looking him over. You claim to be a man of God. I tell you, you got some credentials to live up to, some qualifications. Somebody tell you a man of God and you find his background's all distorted and twisted.